November 8th. Okay, so we're up to Lefikach Nikru. It's Lamed Amud Aleph, like 10 lines from the bottom. Lefikach, the Rashi says, Lefikach is a Milsam Abin Afshi. It's a separate thing. It's not a continuation of what was previously said. Just saying, Lefikach, there's therefore Nikru Rishonim Sofrim. The Rishonim were called Sofrim. Okay, Rishonim, I guess, doesn't mean our Rishonim, right? The Rishonim of those days. The early scholars, early Torah scholars were called Sofrim. Why the Figach? So it's going to explain. It's like it's saying it's because of this they were called Sofrim. Namely, because of what? Shehayu Sofrim kol osios Shabbatorah. Right? You say like divrei Sofrim, right? We use that term also. Divrei Sofrim. What do you mean Sofrim? What does Sofrim mean? Sofer sound, it means counts. Right? Or scribes. I mean, whatever. Either way. It means they count. Because they counted all the letters in the Torah. Shayomren, because they said, Vav de Gachon, Chatzinos Yoshal Torah, so the word Gachon, Kalalichal Gachon, the Vav is the middle letter in the whole Torah. Dorash, Dorash, Chatzin Shaltevos, is the middle word. Vizgalach, Shopsukim, Vizgalach is the middle pasuk in the Torah. Yer Kazmena, Chazir Meyaar, Ayin Diyar, Chatzin Shaltehelim, that Ayin is halfway through Telim. Vuhurach and Chper Avon, Chatzin the Psukim is halfway through the Psukim and Telim. Okay? Boy of Yosef, Vav de Gachon, Mehagisa, Mehagisa. The Vav of Gachon, which side is it on? Is it middle? Is it exact? I guess it means there's really three possibilities, right? Is it dead center? If there's an odd number, you're going to have a dead center. Or if it's even, then it's going to end up being on one side or the other side. So, Amar Lai, Nesi Sirvatov, Amnino, why don't we bring out a Torah? Let's count them. Sounds like a good, right? If it's good enough for them, if they used to count them, we could count them. So Milo Omar Rabbi Rechana Losos Mishamashi Yisrael Torah. Isn't it sad that they did apparently some source they don't know where, but they didn't leave that spot until they counted it. So they did it. Why don't we do it? Amalei Inhu B'Kiyuchos Yisraelos. They were experts in the letters that are missing. The Chesiros Yisraelos, the extra vavs, extra yuds. But now Lo B'Kinon. We're not B'Kiyim, so we can't count it. Okay, we can't count it. But Rav Yosef, is Skalach Mehagisa? Mehagisa? Is it a Skalach? Is it on this side or that side? Or if Skalach was the middle Pasuk? So Amalei Abaye, Psuke, Mihu Leisul Nui? I might as well bring up the Psukim. I mean, I didn't say we're not experts in the exact letters, every letter. But the Psukim we should be experts in, no? All Pasuk? Just no, Psukim Namil Bikinan. We're also not Bikim in the Psukim. The Yasur Abach, Abar Yaakov, Amma Rava Paski Lil Haikral, Tlas Psukim, Yamashal Moshe, Hinelach, Anukhi Baalach, Abav Ha'anan. And then it's Babu Yishma Madabri Yamach, I think, right? Avagam Chayim Minolola. So he broke it up into three Psukim. So you see, basically, we're not Bikim in the Psukim either. So basically, you can't count. You can't bring it out of account. Okay? Rashi, Nikarishon Sofim, the Siv Mishpachos Sofim Yoshvei Avish. This is the source of the Pasuk. Pasuk calls it, and Devar Yomim calls him Sofram. Vav Dion Koholi Chal Gachon, Zosos Misham Los Pashecha, Chasser Mimenu, fine. Okay, so basically that's the Gemara. Gemara is saying is that you have this thing about counting. The Sofram, why are they called Sofram? Because they count the Torah. Count all the letters, all the words, all this, of Torah, Telem. I don't know, they didn't count anything else, but just Torah and Telem. They had to count the words, the Psukim, the letters, and they had all these things of where the middle letter is. Right, and that's what they call the counters. And not only that, they even went so far as to stop everything and start counting the Torah. But we don't have it anymore. We can't do it. It doesn't work for us because we don't know the count anymore. We lost the count. We don't know the numbers. But for them, it was they had the counts and they knew. Okay. So any questions? Question? I think simple question. Why? Why did they do this? You know, the Fikach Nikri Shom Sofer. What's so? Why did they do it? It sounds trivial. You know, what's the point of the whole thing? Right. It sounds, and this sounds pretty important because they're called Sofrim because of this. So it seems like this is really like their defining characteristic. What, they're good counters? That's the Sofrim. The Sofrim is their counters. And it's a funny thing. If any guy told you that they were into yeshiva and what they did is they're having an argument about the middle ladder and they said they were fighting it out and then they brought out a Sefer Torah and they started counting it, I think you'd probably think pretty lowly of the yeshiva that they went to, right? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, this sounds pretty tedious and trivial. I mean, that's what they're doing. This is what they're spending their time. They're coming and sitting and counting. I mean, it's a long process. It's tedious, and who cares? And they say, oh, it's the left side or it's the right side. No, now we know. Who cares? Right? Why is this? What's the deal here? I mean, who cares about this whole thing? You're right. Also, why only Torah and Tehillim? That's a good question. There's no middle word for Tehillim. That's also interesting. Yeah, that's a question. It sounds like Bittul Torah. You're just counting, like I said. I mean, it must take hours to count all the letters in the Torah. I mean, I'm sure they have better things to do with their time. It should be also Bittul Torah. The guys just, well, why the second guy? The original guys knew what the letters were. They knew the middle. They knew exactly what it was. So there's some idea there, whatever. But what, if you don't know the idea, if you don't know whether it's middle or not, what's the point of you now counting it if you don't know the thing anyways? So I think what Gary says is good. I mean, I think the idea is, I mean, just to give some sense to it, is that back in the day, I mean, keeping the authenticity of the Torah was very important. I mean, you could have imposters and you could have, you know, false texts coming, creeping into the Masorah. And the idea of keeping a unified Torah, and, you know, it is amazing. All Torahs are, you know, Ashkenaz, Sephard. I mean, I don't think we have different Torahs. I mean, Torahs are, I mean, it's pretty much a standard text, the Torah. And that's, you know, a lot of books, you have a lot of yourself. So, are you? Someone, maybe there's one or two things, whatever. But basically, the text of the Torah is, 100%. And you can't have, I mean, the Torah in Pia Gvura, you can't just allow imposters to come in and start changing things around. That's bad. You know, I mean, that's bad. So it was very important to maintain the accuracy of the text of the Torah. And if anyone would ever come in and change anything, or miss something, or whatever, I mean, this is the Pia Hashem, exactly every word, every letter, every everything, exactly the psukim, the words, the everything is all 100% exact, Pia Gvura. And it's important, the chachma that goes into every letter and every word of the Torah, it cannot be changed in any degree whatsoever. So it's important, in order to maintain that there's some checking mechanism. There's some way to be able to check, if you have a Torah, to say, wait a second, is this really a thing? Let's say you come across Torah and Torah says something that sounds a little funny. You don't know, maybe this is really a messed up Torah. Maybe we're lacking something, you know? You want to have some way of being able to outrule the fakes. As you get a Torah, you want, how do I know it's real? So, I mean, they weren't standard chumashim around. You just check up with your chumash, you know what I mean? There was no printing press, you know? So everything was a Torah. You have to make sure it's the real deal. Maybe the sefer was mistaken. I mean, you want to make sure you don't keep any false sefer Torah around. So the way in which that's done is to have this type of a check. To have this type of a check. Because you can't start, it would be very difficult to start making changes and to maintain the same, or the letter, the exact middle letter, and the exact middle word, and the exact middle pasuk. Things are going to get messed up. You can start, you're not going to be able to, even if someone knew this thing, I mean, to be able to make it sound like it's the Torah, and to really retain this stuff, it's going to get messed up. You know, I mean, you could accidentally, or whatever, you could get the words right, but not the letters right, or get the letters, not the, you know, it's too much. So this is like the fact that the Masorah, and the Masorah, there was this thing, would preserve the accuracy of the Masorah. Now, the fact that they're called that is, it could be, you see that they really devoted their energies seriously to the preservation of the Masorah. You know what I mean? And to the point where, see, any guy could be involved in preserving the Masorah, insofar as he's enjoying himself sitting and learning Torah. It's very easy. You know, you're sitting and learning Torah, it's enjoyable. Chachmas Hashem, beautiful, you know. But the commitment to the Masorah to the point of involving yourself in tedious, painful activities, like Misa, they used to memorize Mishnah, it reflects their degree of their commitment to the Masorah and to the maintenance of the Torah Hashem. You know what I mean? So the saying is, they called them that because it reflects their valuation of the Masorah and their midos, that they put all their personal, you know, emotions on the slide for being able to involve them. And on the spot, that's it. They'll sit and count. This is important, then we're going to do it. You know? Now, why these guys do it, why they do it now, but it could be, I think it makes sense. Even though they lost, they didn't know. Is it this side or that side? So they didn't know. Apparently they didn't know, but it's a value to know because you want to be able to root out the fakes, right? Now, you could check against, you know, there are Torahs that you know are authentic. I mean, it's not saying there's no such thing, you know. So what you could do is you could check against the Torah which you know is authentic, figure out which side the Vav is. So now, in the future, you'll be able to know how to test any Torahs. In other words, apparently in the Masorah, they lost the particular of whether it's the Vav is on this side or is that side. But they realize we still know that the Vav is in the middle, so now they wanted to be able to recapture the exact specific of which side it's on. And you could do that by taking a Torah which you know is authentic, and you could figure it out. But their answer is no. Unfortunately, we're past that point. where we already have, despite the fact that they had this checking thing, apparently it got too far out of control, and there are too many chazeres and yeseros, and we lost it. We don't know. And the psukim also, we lost it. So now we're stuck. I mean, it's not shaykh of Gemara, because we're talking about the Baal Masorah, the Torah, Lima Torah, the Torah's preservation of the Masorah, and, you know, this is an aspect of Lima Torah, the Torah's preservation. It's showing you, Lima Torah, the Torah's preservation of Masorah isn't all fun and games. It's not exactly just sitting down and learning abstract ideas, and, you know, I mean, there's an idea, like you see Mishnayos, you spend the 30 day Mishnah, so, I mean, that's part of the thing, is memorizing, it's somewhat boring, even, you could argue, you know? But this is what they're involved in, because this is, you realize if you don't sit and memorize Mishnayos for a 30 a day, then for thousands of years, people aren't going to have Mishnayos. There's not going to be a Masorah. So, I mean, Limud Torah's Masorah is restrictive in a sense also. It doesn't, you can't just decide. I mean, it's like a thing. Let's say a guy wants to decide. Like, let's say the Rambam says, Avas Hashem, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. It includes, like, you learning the knowledge of God through science and through, you know what I mean? So you say, so a guy could just sit and learn science all day long, right? But he'd be Mivatel, the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, I mean, in terms of the Avas Hashem, maybe you could argue a guy would allot this time differently. Maybe you do whatever. But it can't be, because it's Masorah. You have no right to do that. You have to be learning Torah. There's an idea, Bittul Torah. You can't just knock out a Torah and just start learning science. And there's a system here. So it's restrictive. It puts restrictions on a guy. Like, a guy can't just sit back and say, I just want to learn abstract ideas. I don't want to be involved in the Masorah. I don't want to memorize Mishnayos. Nowadays, everything's written, so you don't have the same types of considerations anymore. You know, everything's printed, and everything's, you know, so it's less of a, we're involved in that, less. But back when there was really issues with keeping the Masorah, and, you know, the facts of the Masorah, you had to be involved in that stuff. Okay. Fine. So I don't know the Tehillim thing. I don't really have an answer for the Tehillim thing. It could be there's more of an appeal to in Tehillim. There's a lot of it's emotional, the different emotions you see. Tehillim's popular. It's emotionally drawing. Could be there's more of a reason why a person would want to forge something in Tehillim. You know, push something into there that isn't there. It could be there's more of a danger. It could be therefore they had these mnemonic. They had these counts also there. You know, it's less likely someone's going to forge something in Chayasa than that. Could be. You know, it's hard to know. It's hard to know these things. So Tosos quotes Yerushalmi, who learns different Shans over. He says, Nigrosom, Pirish Bekunsh Chasiv, Mishpesach So from Yoshre Yavitz. Yerushalmi Mefarish also called Torah Kula Misparos. They made the whole Torah count numbers. Keep going, Avos, Melachos, Arbam Chasara, 39 Melachos. Arba Avos and Zikin, 4 Avos and Zikin, Nikiotzibahim. So they called Sofram, it isn't different Shans Sofram. Sofram is because they made the whole Torah into numbers. Counts. So it's Pshat. That counting is—it's not just counting the malachos, but it's classifying them. At arba avos nezikin, I mean, it's categorizing. In order to make a count of something, you have to really define the categories and define the different classes within the thing. I mean, you can't just count. You know, it's like whenever sometimes I hear a shir like Rabbi or something. You know, there are 4 reasons why a guy would do this. You know, or something like 4 reasons. You can't just say something like that without having this thing thought out. To be able to kind of make a count on something means you thought it out well. And you have a clearly defined thing. It's not, it's 4 avos nezikin, there's no 5, there's no 3, it's exactly 4. You've defined what an av is, you've defined what this av is, you've defined how it's different from the other ones. Start making a count of things, it's already, it shows a degree of depth and analysis of the thing. So they made the whole Torah in numbers, means they really can involve in the cat. It's not just a bunch of individual halachas, the Torah. But it's they've classified or organized the Torah in different, you know. Could be also there's a memorization thing in the number. And it does bring to mind, like, it could be like, you know, you remember that was a Zikin. If Arba was a Zikin, you're never going to forget all, you know, the malachas. You're not going to miss a malacha if you know how many. You know what I mean? Like, it could be that's another dimension to it, you know. Masorah, and fitting into the other type of thing, you know. Like, in terms of the Masorah, memorization, they make a number, it's mnemonically, it's a good idea, you know. So from according to the Yerushalmi, that if you say it's the idea of categorizing, it's showing the nature of their Lima Torah was of different type of nature, different in depth of learning. Reflects that quality. As opposed to the Rashi's way, it's not the depth of the learning, but it's their involvement in the preservation of the Masorah and their devotion towards the Masorah. You know? Different facets of it. Okay, good. Weiter? Okay. Torah Ban, Rishinantam. So Shishinun is a lashon of like a sharp, right? So I think so, right? So shidurim mechudadim b'picha, that they should be like they should be sharp in your mouth. What does it mean sharp? Im yishalcha adam, if someone asks you a question, adam d'shenu adam davar al tigam game v'tomar lo, you shouldn't like stumble, stutter and say it to him. Elo amar lo miyad. Should say it right away. Don't say, I'm not sure, I think, you know, you should really just spit it out. He asks you a question, bang. That's it. Why? I don't know why. Okay, let's see why. So it says, Shenamar, Amar lechachma achosia. Okay, so there's basically three psukim. Okay? The first part is, let's see Rashi. So, Yichilim Tzicha Chazar Alayhem. So go over them, ubadok beomkam, and it's interesting. It's not just to memorize them, but it's like search into their depths. I guess because a question doesn't just mean a question. I mean, it could involve answering a question doesn't just involve memorization; it involves a deep understanding of it. Right? Shemishalcha adam lo titzarich legamgem el tuchalom ramiyad. You'll be able to tell them right away. Okay, I mean, the surface question is why is this important? Right? I mean, who cares? So, and if you ask him a question, if you tell him in a day, tomorrow, is it so bad? Give him an answer. I mean, he has a question. Give him an answer. What do you have to be able to have such a command of it that you tell him in a second? I mean, why is that important? Who cares? You know? I mean, it's nice, but who cares? I have to learn. I have to go over it and memorize it and get it to the point. I mean, you say, why is that important? I could always look it up. I'll look up the halacha. Would I have to know the halacha on my fingertips?
They don't talk about ideas.
It seems to be both. It's not only the ideas. I mean, it seems to be if a guy asks you something, you tell him right away. I mean, I don't know, is it the facts or the ideas? Or it sounds the whole thing, I don't know. So the Tosa says, so what's he talking about? He says, Vadam Reil Matzias Tetzur Merabon and Mishani Vidiburev Mesechas. Because the case is that one of the things you'll have to lie for is if they ask you, do you know this halacha? Do you know this Mesechta? So you can say, nah, I don't know. They'll give you modest or whatever. And say, you don't have to tell them that you know the halacha. They don't know about this. So it sounds like a contradiction to hear, because here it's saying is on the contrary, you have to tell them right away. You know, yeah, I know everything. I know, you know. There's Omer Ben Tam Dehainu Im Sholem Osom Lamata Masecha Zo. If they ask him if you need to learn this Masecha, Al Yisgaya Lomer Shalom Da Kolomer Lamati Harbe. Because they ask you, did you learn Nida? Oh yeah, I learned that. No, you can say, you can pretend. You know, you don't have to be haughty about it. You say, no, I didn't do it. You know, it's a lot of the impression that you're not about Gaiva. But right, Aval Im Sholem Osad Var Halacha. But if they ask you a Shaila, Ushutichem Lomod Mi Menu Masecha. Masechta, whatever that means, they were trying to learn a concept or whatever from you. Tzarech shiyu mechudadim b'piv. Then it should be sharp enough. Shel yigangim davar. That is, so you shouldn't stutter. V'lo dami l'had amar mar, l'amid l'shon chalomar in yodeya. And as it says in Nesos Avos Zuta, that you should teach yourself to know, to say, I don't know. Shematiz bada v'tochas. I'm not sure. It's the Hainu Milid Alma. That's in regular MSUs. But in Torah, you should answer him. The Fil Divrei Torah, Lo Yomar Yodean Idavar Les Barbo, Vikach. You shouldn't say it in order to look at, to glorify yourself. El Yom, Mash Yodea, Yorub, Yelantan, whatever you know, you should teach them. You should know what I'm saying is because there's a danger of just always saying, I know, because the guy will try to pass yourself off as being some sort of expert. So it says, it's like that's talking about it in regular things. But in Torah, you shouldn't do it in an arrogant way, but if you know something, you have to say it over. Okay, so that's basically. So that's the Gemara saying. And we still don't know why. But saying you have to know the stuff in order to Torah, in order to make sure you have to answer a guy the second he asks you. You gotta basically you can't stumble. So why? So I think these psukim should be pointing to the ideas of why it is. Right? I mean, I don't think we should just try to make up. You know, the psukim are really reflecting this source. It's not just making something svara. He's explaining. Right, Shenema. I mean, I guess Mechudadim is the halacha, but he's bringing Psukim to show you what the concept is. So it says, Amar l'chachma achosia. You should say to Chachma, you're my sister. So it says, Rashi says, Shetehei baki ba ke achoscha she'asura l'cha. Okay, you should be an expert in the knowledge of Torah, just like you're an expert in your sister, that she's asur to you. Because everyone knows their sister is asur to them. And you should, you should be so knowledgeable or about Torah, so much an expert in Torah that it comes to you like a guy is your sister to you, in a second he'll tell you she's asa. Same thing here. Inami is safe for the Kra. Umoda Lavina Tikra. It's and you should Dvina, you should call Dvina like an acquaintance. Should tell you Dualacha. Should be known to you. So knowledge should be like your sister, should be known to you. Okay, so it's saying that's the first pasuk. Okay, so maybe we should take them one at a time. So do we have any ideas about this pasuk? What's the idea? I mean, so this is part of pointing to an idea. Why should your Torah should be divided from the Picha? Because that's a malachach malchosia. Okay. But in a basic way, I mean, I just want to get basic ideas here.
Just something that's bothered me a little bit is that if you just simple pshat on the pasuk, what does it mean? Amalachach machosiyat. Say to the Torah, you're my sister.
And on a simple level, you would have said it means it's a very close relationship. You have a very close relationship, or something like that. A close, strong, emotional, tight relationship with your sister, and it means you should feel close. You should be close to Torah. Your Torah should be should be like a close acquaintance. I mean, that's, I think, a simple way to learn it. You know, where Bina should be like an acquaintance, a friend. You know? Sounds like that. Like, why is Rashi introducing that you know your sister, that you know that your sister's asur to you? I mean, is that what a person thinks about? He thinks his sister is asur to me? I mean, you're my sister. It means, like, there's a certain type of an emotional closeness you have. Right? I mean, that's just funny how Rashi's... Why does Rashi have to do that? Yeah, okay, so I'm just saying, I mean, it's tentative, but I'm just saying that it could be saying your knowledge of Torah. Torah shouldn't just be something that you do in your free time, but it's not really important to you. Something which is rather should be important to you. Something which is important to you, you know. You're familiar with and you know it and you don't forget it. Your energy is there. That's what you value. That's what you know. Like someone who's really into baseball knows the stats. He doesn't have to look them up. He just knows them. It's part of the, you know, that's where his energy is. You don't forget it. You don't forget that which you're also got. So saying your involvement in Torah should be one where the guy's energy is just totally there and it's part of his nature and it's it. He knows it. He knows Torah. Period. He doesn't have to start thinking. Thinking is, why do you have to start thinking and stumbling? Because you're not there. Your energies aren't in the area. You're not there. And then you have to start really going back to it. But if a person, the highest level guy who's fully involved in Torah, that's just, he knows it like the back of his hand. It's just part of his... Is part of his immediate knowledge base. Now, showing the sister is an example of that. Like, you see a sister, you find that one time your sister is asur to you. When you're young, let's say you find out that she's asur to you. You don't have to then look up the halachas, your sister asur to you ever again, because it's every day you encounter your sister, and you have an emotional relationship with your sister, you're close to her, and you're involved with her, and you know, that's just part of the fact of the relationship is, you're close to your sister, but she's asur to you, she's not an eligible marriage candidate, you know? And it's indicating, it's showing sister as opposed to like brother, it's not just you should have an emotional bond to, it's not just saying that you should be close emotionally to her. But it's trying to show that the sister shows that which you have a close emotional relationship with, you're the knowledge regarding that thing because it's fresh in your mind at all times. You don't forget it because you're emotionally involved. You're close to the thing. So Torah, you should have that close relationship with that you always remember. And it seems like the second part of the pasuk is Mod Chachma Bina is minusing out that factor. It's just saying you should have a close, you should have knowledge of it. That's simply the fact that you should just have a... It's like your acquaintance, your friend. Simply Torah should be a friend. Torah should be something which you're always... It's a similar idea, but he's not sure if it has that idea of the Isser, you know? I'm not sure. I mean, it's Sarchi, you know? I'm just throwing, give an approach. In the first one, the sister, is the Pasuk's proving to you that you should be two things. You should be close to Torah, and that closeness should result in your knowledge of the Torah. You know what I mean? Because you see, you're close to your sister and you have knowledge about your sister. But the second one is Rashi, is just having the aspect of the closeness.
Right.
The fact that you're close, like an acquaintance. But the fact that you shouldn't have knowledge of it is just misvara. I guess once it's a close acquaintance, then of course you can have knowledge of it. You have knowledge about your close acquaintance, you know? I don't know. Let's go on. You can definitely go deeper into this. Okay, fine. Next is Omer, Kishreim Alitz Be'osecha, Kisvei Meloch Libecha. Plus says you should write them on your fingers, tie them on your fingers, and write them on the board of your heart. Talking about like Divrei Chachma, same thing. And it's Divrei Chachma. You should have them on your fingers and on the board of your heart. You know, like a board, you can read something off a board. It's on the board of your heart. The Divrei Chachma are like on your fingers, they're tied onto your fingers, or they're written on the board of your heart. So the question is, what's that pshat? I mean, it sounds similar, right? Doesn't that sound similar? It's like it should be like any fingertip, sounds like, you know? So what's the, how is that different? Is that a new idea?
Very good. I was saying I like Ben saying that. That the first pasuk is saying is that you should have the, why should you have the, why should you know, be able to answer so quickly? Because you're close, you should really, the halacha is you should be close to Torah. And that's what's going to result is the fact that you can answer quickly. So it's not the answering quickly per se that's valuable, it's just that it's the relationship which follows, which is the fact that you can't answer shows that you don't have the right relationship. The second one seems to be focusing more on the fact that it should be at your hands. It should be ready, you should be ready to use it. That's one thing. If something's on your hand, or it's on the board of your heart, it means you're ready to use the thing. You know, I mean, a guy is walking this way, you know, in a dangerous place holding a weapon, you know what I mean? Because it means he's ready to be used. So it could be it's saying is that, see, Divrei Torah, halacha, and the way the system is set up is that you have to be able to access your Torah knowledge. I mean, certain times, you can't always look things up, you can't always spend a day to start looking up halachas. I mean, certain times, certain situations demand the immediate usage of your knowledge. You know what I mean? So because of the nature of Torah is such, is that practically speaking, you have to be ready at your fingertips, ready to make use of them. Ready to make use of the Torah knowledge, you know what I mean? So that's the thing. You stumble, it means that you don't have the proper knowledge of Torah, really. Because Torah demands at times that you really know how to use the Torah. And you can't start looking it up, you can't start, Gimgum isn't, sometimes you think, you lose. I mean, you take the time to think, and you end up losing out. You miss the opportunity, you miss a chance, you miss the halacha, So it could be it's saying it's not just because of the reflective of your attitude, but in a practical sense. It has to be ready to use. So it's shakashram and kisvim. You should put them in a way. You should learn the Torah in a way that you have it accessible. It should be in one. You don't just put it away in the back of your mind that you're never going to get to it. No, you should make sure, actively learn it in a way where it'll be a part of, you know. Okay, good. Next, ve'omer kechitzim biyad gibor, kein b'nei hanu'urim. Like arrows in the hands of a gibor, so too are the sons of my youth. As Rashi says, tamidu shal adam akurim banav. It means so too are my students. Okay, so too are my students. And chitzim ve'omer chitzei gibor shinunim, saying the arrows of a gibor are sharp. Ve'omer chitzecha shinunim amcha tachtecha yiplu. So it's quoting Pesukim here is to show different few Pesukim to show that that arrows are like are sharp. That's what the chitzim, when it's saying the chitzim, it means like arrows. They should be sharp. So like that's I think it's really just the third. There are further elaborations on that third thing, the third pasuk of kechitzim yad gibar kem nanurim. What's this idea that you're Rashi says, "Kechitim yad gibor shenilcham bohem imayivav," that you should be mechudam field because you fight with the Divrei Torah with your enemies. So what does that mean? Who's your enemies and how are you fighting with them with the Torah? Okay, then it says, so that's one question. Then it says, "Mayis oivim b'shar." What are the oivim, your enemies in the gate? Amar chiyav rabba filo avu b'no aravu talmido shoskim b'torah b'shar echad nasim oivim zeh. Because oivim b'shar is like contradiction. Enemies in the gates. I mean, it sounds like your enemies aren't in your gates. Your enemies are distant from you. It says no. Even if Rav and a Talmud learn Torah together, become enemies with one another. Because they're fighting about the right Torah. But they don't leave until they become beloved to one another. Shenemar Vohev b'sufa. Vohev is like ahava. Al tikir b'sufa elo b'sofa in the end. So Rashi says. Since they're asking each other and no one accepts each other's farz or whatever, so they become like enemies. But as voice sufa halchidosho sefer mechamas mechamas aydei sefer ahava. I'm sorry, mechamas aydei sefer, the mechama which comes through sefer mechamas, the sefer mechama which comes through the sefer ahava yesh b'sofa, has an ahava at the end. So the question is, what's this idea? What's this fighting that they're doing, and why is there an Abba out there? That? I don't think this is sort of the same thing, though, as what it's saying above, the Chitzim Biad Gibor. You know, that was like against your enemies, you know? It's fight off your enemies. Maybe look into it. I think it's a separate part. But that's that, and so that's what you think. What's this last idea in why you should have the knowledge of Torah so sharp? To fight off your enemies, and then what's this other thing? It's a v'mishar. And then also we'll try to do tomorrow is this as a mashal here. I don't know if you just read it. Torah b'nei samtem. The Torah is like we have a few agaritas here. I mean, Maybe tomorrow we could try to get through them. Or, but it's about the Torah is nimshal to like, you know, like the Yetzer Hara is like, it's like, the Torah is like the medicine. Medicine for Yetzer Hara, whatever. Yeah, you look at the mashal. But of course, what's the idea in the mashal? Okay, but let's see. I want, again, I want to move through these things pretty quickly and get back to the halacha stuff, okay?